this word, this act, this liturgy, we all do together and call it worship. Are we doing it for ourselves? Or are we doing it for God? Is this, if, when we do this, would God be pleased? If God is pleased us doing this, how and why? But if we're doing it for us, in what portion is it actually is toward us? So, just laying that in your minds, that's kind of something that you can take a moment and meditate upon. So, before we begin, I would like all of you to close your eyes. Let's do initial breathing, that I take a deep breath and release it very slowly. And take another one and release it very slowly. And take another one. Into our calm, open mind, now we invite presence of God to be real and be active. And this is what Jesus says, "Very truly I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God without being born of water and spirit. What is born of the flesh is flesh, and what is born of the spirit is spirit." As your eyes closed, I'd like to ask you to, the music will begin very soon, but as music begins, you count your breathing. In and exhale, complete, that's one. So just keep on counting your breathing. Okay? May open your eyes. And next is coming as a listening of the first scripture reading. And today, I don't want you to read what is in here. I want you to again close your eyes and listen to every word that Joshua is going to read for you. And if you can, reflect upon the words that you're listening. Okay?
Genesis. These are the generations of the heavens and the earth when they were created. In the day that the Lord God made the earth and the heavens, when no plant of the field was yet in the earth, and no herb of the field had yet sprung up. For the Lord God had not caused it to rain upon the earth, and there was no one to till the ground, but a stream would rise from the earth and water the whole face of the ground. Then the Lord God formed man from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And the man became a living being. And the Lord God planted a garden in Eden in the east. And there he put the man whom he had formed. Out of the ground the Lord God made to grow every tree that is pleasant to the sight and good for food. The tree of life also in the midst of the garden, and the tree of knowledge of good and evil. A river flows out of Eden to water the garden, and from there it divides and becomes four branches. The name of the first is Pishon. It is the one that flows around the whole land of Havilah, where there is gold, and the gold of that land is good. Delium and onyx stone are there. The name of the second river is Gihon. It is the one that flows around the whole land of Cush. The name of the third river is Tigris, which flows east of Assyria. And the fourth river is the Euphrates. The Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to till it and keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, "You may freely eat of every tree of the garden, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat. For in the day that you eat of it, you shall die."
I don't have something that we call message, but I will share a certain points that would make engage you think deeper or deeply. Today's first scripture reading tells us what human is made of in a very simple way. The outer part, which we call body, is from the earth, or what is the physical reality. And that was actually called human. But to make this human to be a living being before God, in the eyes of God, it has to have breath of life that is from God. So, which part, in which reality are you dwelling more? That's my first question to you. As usual, I'm not going to give you any answer for that. Second one that I'd like to share is the presentation of this very troublesome tree or trees. God creates human, make it to be living, even build a beautiful garden for it, and make rivers to come out of it and water whole land. In the middle of it, God plants two trees. One tree of life sounds good. The other one, the tree of knowledge of good and evil. And believe or not, the word evil is used by God first, before any human have any concept of it, and gave warning to this first human, the day you eat of that tree, you shall die. And they ate it later, right? And to our eyes, they didn't die. So what does that mean? What does this whole mean? It engages you in a way that does God blame us something that we're not capable of perceiving and understanding, yet we did it? Or is it that we try to blame God about trapping us? So, in your reflection, how do you perceive this very interesting yet somewhat opposing reality that was presented by God, or had to be presented by God, in the middle of a perfect place called Eden? Garden, actually, of Eden. Eden is a name of a place, and garden was planted in the east side of the Eden. So, that's for you to reflect upon. So we have body and we have mind. And as I'm moving my right hand as I wish, and move my left hand as I wish, I may have a false belief that I'm in full control of my body. Is that true? No. You know, I've been trying to lose that 10 more pounds 3 years. I haven't been successful yet. And there's a witness sitting right there, so it's true. But also, you know, actual history and science speaks to us that the most important part of the body is actually controlled and governed by the brain without our actual control. You know, heart and intestines, hormones, you know, blood making, cell regenerating. I mean, are you telling your liver that, liver, it's time to regenerate your cells? We don't do that. It just happens. And give or take about 7 year period, exception of your brain cells, all your cells are new ones. Meaning old one dies away, new ones are born. So how much of control do we really have of our body? In a way, a lot though. Because by our choice, we can kill it. Isn't that interesting? We don't really control the health and the generating any part of it, but by our choice, we could make it healthier or we could make it sick. And maybe same thing applies to your mind, too. How much of control do we have with our mind? That's like, oh my, right? How can we even measure it? But if we have probably less than 10% of control to our body, if we assume that, maybe we have even less control of our mind. But interesting thing is that the body may be running itself, your mind, you could take more control of it. Not in a way control, but the word I prefer to use is maneuver it. Maneuver it to the way that is more proper. And to do that, you need God's help or inner acknowledgement and perception that inwardly you're more than just your physical body. Your inner perception matters. So, what do you think you really are? Your body, your mind, both of it, or none of it? That's my next question that I want you to engage in something called self-reflection with the gong. I'm going to give you about 5 minutes. I'm going to sound the gong about every 30 seconds. Your goal is simple. One, Just post this question in your internally visualized wall or screen. Two, do not try to answer it. You don't need to find an answer, right? You just need to post it and observe how your mind interacts with you. Okay? And I'll be ringing the gong about every day. So I can go bring the gong. So, but before we do that, let's do breathing. Take a deep breath, like a deep, really deep. And release it very slowly, all the way. And please take it again. And release it very slowly. As you let go of all those things, close your eyes. And have the questions. this time, I'd like actually invite you to make a choice. One, engage into a silent meditation, or two, a deep prayer. If you'd like to have inner prayer, inner communication, conversation with God, please do so. If you'd like to engage in the silent meditation, you have two simple goals to do. One, try not to engage into any thought or emotional stimulus that may pop into your mind. Two, try not to fall asleep. But if you'd like to engage into deep prayer, search your mind, heart. I believe you're quite calm and quiet now. Go into the most quiet and calm place in your mind. I'm sure you may sense, feel, experience presence of God within you. And that's where you engage your conversation. And feel free, you can ask any questions, any complaints to your God, because your God already knows everything that you can ask about. But by asking it, it becomes real to you. When it's real to you, sometimes you get to have a solution for it, a way to process it or maneuver it. So please close your eyes. I'm going to give you about 5 minutes for this one. Okay. Got about 2 minutes. Any questions for today's experience? All good? Yes, Susan?
This is a kindred experience because these days, anyway, I find that so much of my life experience is inside my own head and heart. That this is a cousin to that experience, but a more focused and intentional.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Anyone else has a question or comment? Yes?
What is the answer to God creating the tree of knowledge of good and evil? And why?
A long answer could be I can actually let you read my Master's thesis, which is about 68 pages. Short answer could be God's love creating us, wanting to have actually to us to have everything that God has, meaning that we have to have absolute freedom of choice, even to choose God, to deny God. And in a way, it is tragedy or sad truth that somehow it had to be there, but in another way, it is empowering. So, as the Swedenborg kind of describes in Divine Love and Wisdom, essence of love is to want to give everything that I have to you, and by virtue of that, if you are happy and joyful, that makes me automatically joyful and happy. So in a way of saying, God wants us to be absolutely happy and joyful. And to be so, we have to be absolutely independent, choosing what is real for me and what is not. So that's kind of like shorter answer. But anybody wants to read a longer answer, I have 68 pages.
But then why wouldn't, I realize this is all a kind of legend, but why wouldn't God have said, this is the tree of good, of the knowledge of good and evil. You may eat of it, but I will hold you responsible for your, I mean, in a sense, we are held responsible. Knowledge.
And probably actual content of the story, as we know, that it's written probably a long time ago, and the mind who received, in a way, that's how they were writing. This story is written probably at the time, probably we can think that it's probably borrowed from Sumerian, or Sumerian is actually the heritage that God was working through, because Abraham was from that land. So what I'm trying to say, the way of the language may not be compatible to the way that we might like to have it. It's because it's also one part ancient expression. And what is clear is the word that you shall die. Though they didn't die. So story continues. So it's kind of ancient way of expressing it, and probably I could explain more, but I said 2 minutes. I think 2 minutes over by now. If you have any more questions, please, you can ask me later too. And for the blessing of today, if you don't mind, would you like to all stand up and connect one another? We're going to say blessings unto each other. So, don't know how to create this, but Shall we somehow connect?
Want to do a circle?
Circle.
All of us.
All of us. All of you. All of you.
Just all right. Step backwards, and you'll create a big circle. It'll work. Keep walking back.
All right. Okay, so you have to pick somebody to say these blessings. That I will begin, and please repeat after me. May the love of God,
the love of God,
flow through me.
Flow through me.
May my heart and body,
my heart and body,
be willing,
be willing,
express it to you.
Express it to you.
May we,
may we
become,
become
children of God,
children of God,
in this love,
in this love.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.